O gracious and loving God, we pray that as we meditate upon your word, that your spirit would be upon us, in our hearts and our minds. Help us, O Lord, to understand your scripture. Amen. Well, this is the first Sunday of Christmas. Can you hear me, Paul?
No.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'll try to keep it up a little bit. He's sitting there going, no, I can't hear him. We'll do the best we can, Paul. This is the first Sunday of Christmas, after Christmas. Next week is the second Sunday after Christmas, and then will come Epiphany. And so we've got this kind of dead spot, if you will, as far as the scriptures go. We left off last Christmas Eve with Jesus being born, and with the shepherds coming, and the angels singing, and that was kind of where we left it. We haven't seen the wise men come yet because they're not there yet. The scripture today takes us actually beyond the wise men to where Joseph is taking and saving Mary and the baby by going to Egypt. So we miss out on them going to the temple and presenting the child, and Mary buying a dove to cleanse herself after the birth. We miss out on all of those things in that portion of the scripture. And there are things that we know in our hearts that we hear every year, but because of the way that the church goes in its three-year period, for the readings, it tries to make us read most of the scripture, at least all of the scripture, over that 3 years. So we have kind of a dead spot here. And I was thinking, well, what am I going to preach on? Because we're going to preach on Epiphany in 2 weeks. And I got thinking about, you know, we've got a person there that is kind of that, one of those lost people, if you will. Joseph. Have you thought about Joseph and what he did and how much he did? Joseph and Mary were betrothed, which means that their families were probably middle class or upper middle class. Joseph's father was also a carpenter, trained him to be a carpenter. And Mary's family were at that class level too. And probably what happened was the two families got together and they betrothed to both children. They came up with kind of a contract that said, they're going to get married, and with that, our families will be joined forever. It's something that we see all the way into the Middle Ages. I see it in some parts of the world today. The family makes the decision. So Joseph is betrothed to Mary. And at some point, Mary comes to Joseph's house and lives with her and his family. And his mother begins to train her to be a good wife for Joseph. And they're together. They haven't known each other in a biblical way. But they're there. And as Mary grows older and gets closer to a time when they would wed, they're living really together in the household. And being betrothed is the same as being married at that time. You are basically husband and wife. You are called betrothed. At some point there might be a ceremony to welcome them together, usually after the woman gets pregnant and has a son. It's a really mixed up mess when you go to look at it and try to figure it out. I saw six different ways that this could have happened at that time. So they are together, and Mary comes to Joseph and says to him, guess what, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph says, basically has to think about it, and he's thinking, maybe I should just set her aside quietly. I want to do it quietly because I care for her. If I do it in a way that the whole community knows, I will have to throw the first stone to stone her to death. Joseph's got a lot on him. Angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream, says, don't worry about it. The Son of God's going to be born. You're going to take care of her. And he does. He follows the angel. He doesn't set her aside. He keeps her. They're still betrothed. mansion in the town, when people start noticing that Mary is pregnant, the guys come up to him and say, "Nice going, Joseph. Good. I hope it's a son." Joseph saying, looking at them and saying, "It will be." He knows. Then, of course, we have the calling of the people to go to their family homes, where they started, and they have to go to do the census. Mary's big with child. He gets a donkey, sets her on the donkey, and off they go to Bethlehem. Get to Bethlehem. A lot of family there. Well, all their everything's full. Goes to the inn. It's full. The innkeeper takes pity on him and says, "You know, there's a grotto up there. There's a little cave up there that they use as for the animals. And if you go up there, you'll have a peaceful time, and there won't be a lot of people there, and it'll probably be better for Mary anyway." So they go there. Now, think about this. In the Bible, they didn't call a midwife in, did they? No women came up to help Mary with her birth. Joseph was the only person to do that, to help her with the birth. Here he is. It's not even his child. And he's got Mary. They're in there, and he has to help her with the birth. He's put down straw, blanket over it. She's comfortable, sort of. She starts having labor pains. And Joseph, it's going to happen now. And so there he is, helping to birth the baby. He's the only one that was there. Mary probably told him as it went what he needed to do, hopefully. I would hope somebody would tell me. I take that back. I have delivered a baby. But I did it. The woman was telling me what to do, too, but it wasn't anything nice. So anyway, baby's born, puts it in the manger, and everything's great. Then Joseph, following God's law, takes the baby and Mary to the temple. The baby is presented. The dove is bought, and so that Mary is cleansed. Old man sitting by on a rock there says, "Now I could die because I've seen the birth of the Messiah." And they go back. The kings come. They go. And suddenly, the angel of the Lord says to him, "Okay, it's time. You're going to have to get out of here. Herod's coming. He's going to kill all of the children around Bethlehem that are 2 years and younger." And at night, Joseph and Mary move out. They go to Egypt. And he's in Egypt. He's a carpenter. He's a really a fairly classy guy, if you think about it. He's not poor down here. He's got a trade that can be used anywhere. He's a carpenter. He helps to make tools. He helps to make different things. He does good work, and people buy from him. So they're not indigent. They're in Egypt. They're probably living fairly well. Jesus is growing, and the angel of the Lord comes to him again. I got to get tired of the angel of the Lord coming and waking in your dreams, because you wake up from your dreams and you say, "Okay, I got to do it right now." Gets Mary and baby, and off they go to Nazareth. Didn't want to go to the portion that was given to from Herod to one of his sons, because they felt the son would be like Herod. So they go to Nazareth out in a different part of the Tetrarch. There were three. Judea was divided between three of his children. Go to a different part. They lived there. Now, when Joseph and Mary were betrothed, in order for them to live in the house, you start talking about how old Mary was. Well, she probably lived in the house for 5 or 6 years. There was a bride pay a price to be paid, and there was no doubt that they were husband and wife, basically. Joseph was probably somewhere between 25 and 30 years old. The reason that we know that is because between 25 and 30 years old is when you can become the head of the household. So he, his father said in the household, he's between 25 and 30, he's a good carpenter, and everything's working out, they come together, and of course, then everything's happening after that with them going out. So we think about Joseph as being, if we need to hold on to that idea that Joseph is 25 to 30 years old. Let's say that he's 30 years old, just to take it to the extreme, because everybody says, well, he's an old man, but 30 or kind of middle-aged. So they're living in Nazareth. Jesus reaches the age of 12. Joseph, according to the law, takes him to Jerusalem. He has his bar mitzvah. Today I am a man. They get ready to go back. They can't find him. They have to come back to Jerusalem and look for him. Find him in the temple. Mary didn't find him in the temple. Joseph did. She couldn't go in there. Of course, she said, why did you do this? He said, I must be about my father's work, and nothing else gets said. We don't hear anything else until Jesus is ready to start his ministry. Right before that, when they're at the Canaan, Jesus is ready to start his ministry, but his mother says, wants to start him early, and wants him to make the wine. She's got to help him. Touch him. Goes over and makes a big vat of wine that everybody loved. Then he begins his ministry, but at that point, where is Joseph? We don't hear anything from the time he's 12, Jesus is 12 years old, more about Joseph. The closest we come is when Jesus is doing his ministry and they say, oh, you can't be the Messiah. You're the son of Joseph, the carpenter. That's the only time we hear of Joseph, the rest of the scriptures. Now, if Joseph was 30 years old when he and Mary came together, and you think, and we think Jesus was 30 years old when he started his ministry. Yes, that would have made Joseph 60 years old. And he has probably died. Jesus is the firstborn. He is now head of the household. And it's important we remember that, because that's what we really want to say today. Jesus is the head of the household, his household. So he makes decisions for his household. He makes sure that his brothers are learning the trade and doing the right things. He's the head of the household. What he says is going to happen. I don't know how it happened, but he's still head of the household, but he goes off. Goes into the desert. He is tempted. Passes that test, walks into the Jordan, gets baptized, his ministry begins. Has one of his brothers with him. They remember who the brother is? Bible study. James, yes. So he's got James as a follower. He's got these other followers. He's still head of the household. And he goes through the rest of his life preaching the word, and saying, those that believe in me are my brothers and my sisters. And he's still the head of the household. He's the head of the household of those who believe in him. We become adopted sons and daughters of God. That's power. That's powerful. And who's the head of our household? Everybody. Jesus, right? He's the head of our household, and we are his brothers and sisters following him, what his call, and following what he wants us to do. So what does he say to us? He says, there's only two commandments you really need to know. First one, love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Second one, love your neighbors as yourself. That's all we have to do. Receive the Holy Spirit, be baptized in his name, love our neighbors, and love God, the God in the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have the Comforter with us. The Spirit comes is with us to guide us. Head of the household, God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Now think about the power there. As men, you are heads of your household, maybe. As women, you are heads of the household. We are heads of that love that we have for each other. But when we come to church, when we gather together, when we're alone in a closet, wherever we are, the head of the household is watching us. It's offering us comfort, showing us how we can serve, and showing us what we need to do. That being baptized in the name offers us the fact that the head of the household will reach out to our spirit and give us eternal life. The head of the household is with us when we hurt, when we're in pain, physical pain, whether when we're in personal pain because of loss, when we mourn, with us when joy, when baby is born, kids graduate from high school, they get a job, he's with us. He's guiding us. If we learn anything from the scriptures and from Joseph himself, is the fact that at that time, Joseph became head of the household at a point. Jesus became head of the household at a point. He was the firstborn. It's a different society than we have ourselves, but it worked. As heads of the household, each of us, our own lives, reaching out to others. We are called to follow Christ. We are called to give him his due as head of the household. I don't remember a head of the household really in my life. I was allowed to kind of go once I finally moved out of the boarding house anyway. I just kind of go. My mother was working 2 and 3 jobs. Father was, who knows what he was doing. And receiving Jesus Christ, suddenly I have stability. I'm part of a family. A family that loves me and allows me to love them. I know that I'm going to have pain. I know that there are things that in my life that I have to deal with. But I know that he's always with me. Our father, our brother, our sister, heads of the household. And we are never alone because of him. Do you pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, we praise your name and we give thanks. We give thanks to you. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that you are the head of our household. We pray, Lord, that you would reach out your hand and touch us. Keep us in line. Help us to love our neighbors. Help us to love ourselves. Help us to be sure that the world would come to know you and love you. Gracious God, we put our lives in your hands as our Father. And Lord, we put our spirit and everything that we are in your Son's name. Pray that you grow. We grow.